The following podcast is a presentation of the Washington College of Law at American University. Any unauthorized use or distribution is strictly prohibited.
Hi, everyone. We're going to get started. Thank you so much for being here. My name is Deepa Iyer, and I'm the Executive Director of South Asian Americans Leading Together, or SALT. And it's my pleasure to welcome all of you to Washington, D.C. I think I've had the pleasure of welcoming you kind of 2 to 3 times already since yesterday. So welcome again for day 2 of the National South Asian Summit, co-hosted by SALT and the South Asian Law Students Association here at American University, Washington College of Law. Welcome to D.C. I want to just start by very quickly thanking all of you for being here. I know that I said this yesterday morning. I know that taking time away for 2.5 days, it's not an easy thing to do, being away from work and family. We really appreciate that you've committed to being at the summit and really using it as a learning opportunity for 2.5 days, and we hope that it's a meaningful experience for everyone. Yesterday, as many of you remember, we spent some time learning about kind of the federal government agency structure, hearing from federal government agencies, and then going to the Hill on some delegation visits. And today and tomorrow are going to be a little different. One is we're not going to be moving around anywhere. We're going to be right here in this building, and we'll have an opportunity to be part of skills building sessions and workshops and issue-based discussions. If you have any questions over the next day and a half, you can ask them at the registration desk right outside this room. You can also find one of the SALT staff members or board members. I think many of you know us by now. Myself, Mo Khan, Priya Murthy, Aparna Kothari, Poonam Patel, our intern, or any of our board members who are here over the weekend. I also want to do a special thank you to the South Asian Law Students Association here at the Washington College of Law, alumni of WCL, the events management office here, Jennifer Dabson, the AV team, and all of those who are helping us have a successful summit this weekend here at American University. So for the morning, I want to just give you a sense of what the agenda is going to look like this morning. And if we go ahead to the next slide there, you can see that we're going to just hear a few welcoming remarks from Dean Claudio Grossman here at the law school, as well as Jayesh Rathod and Shivali Patel, all with WCL here at American University. And then I'll give a very, very truncated overview about the summit for those of you who are joining us for the first time this morning. And then we're going to go ahead with our opening plenary. It's going to be a little bit shorter, and we'll go into the sessions 1 and 2 before lunch. So to get us started, let me turn it over to Jayesh Rathod, who's a professor here at WCL and also the chair of the SALT Board of Directors. Jayesh?
Thank you, Deepa. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. It's my pleasure to welcome all of you to the 2009 South Asian Summit. As Deepa mentioned, I'm a faculty member here at the Washington College of Law, and I'm also on the board of directors of SALT, so I'm doubly excited to have all of you here at the law school. This is definitely a landmark event in the history of the South Asian community, bringing together individuals of diverse backgrounds from different parts of the United States, representing different organizations and with different areas of work. And we're going to address today a broad range of issues, from economic justice to civil rights and civil liberties to immigration to civic participation to gender equity to health, and many more. And we're excited to having and hosting a range of workshops today. And I think in many ways WCL is the perfect place to be hosting this event. If you look at the range of curricular and other offerings of the law school and their clinical programs and the projects, the centers and the programs, the work of our faculty, in many ways this law school is a laboratory for social change, and we engage in many of the issues that we're going to be discussing here at the summit today. We're also fortunate to have a student body that is exceptionally committed to social justice, and you'll see many of them here today the representatives of the South Asian Law Students Association. And as faculty members, we're privileged to work with such wonderful students. And so I'm going to keep it brief, and I'll just in closing, I'll mention that we're also very fortunate to be led by a dean who shares our commitment to building a more just and equitable society. So I wanted to hand the podium over to our Dean Claudio Grossman to give us some welcoming remarks.
Thank you, Professor Jayesh Rathod. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to American University Washington College of Law. On behalf of our community, it's my pleasure to welcome all of you who come from around the country to the 2009 National South Asian Summit. Our own South Asian Law Student Association has worked closely with the national nonprofit organization, South Asian American Leading Together, to bring forth this important today initiative. The best that we can offer here at our students, when we, law school sometimes brag about the LSATs of the admitted applicants and the GPAs and all type of relatively valuable accomplishments. But we brag in this school about the commitment and passion about our students that in spite of the pressures of law school, find the time to organize events, to commit themselves while they are in the law school with important values of human dignity. So we are blessed to have an organization like we have here, and we are very pleased again that they brought this meeting to our school. WCL, our school, is pleased to support this summit during our annual founder celebration, which honors our founding mothers. Perhaps you know that we were created in 1896, when women were not allowed into law schools or into a practice of the profession. Our two founding mothers, Ellen Spencer Massey and Emma Gillette, defying the conventional wisdom of the time, imagine a place where both women and men will study and use the concept of the law, the analytical skills, the values that the law imparts for the purposes of creating a society without gender discrimination. Those were not easy times for them. I mean, retrospectively, when we look backwards, we say, well, what was the big problem of having women studying law? But at that time, the prevailing notions said, by nature, women lack the skills and the values and the analytical power required to study law. And that was the conventional wisdom. That shows us a lot of things. One thing that it shows us is that let us be suspicious when somebody blames nature on anything. This is a socially constructed notion that has deep-rooted sometimes interests of different type. And we can challenge that and take a look at what happens. I always get very nervous when I see nature being blamed for this type of situation. The second very important message of our founding mothers is that we can do something about things. That we are important actors in the struggle for human dignity. And these two women at that time imagine this institution that will educate men and women and thought that it was essential for the purposes of achieving equality to have women lawyers, and they did it. And they were capable of contributing in the United States and abroad to tremendously to the fight for gender equality. So we are not simply peasants, nothing is wrong with peasants, but peasants watching and looking at it, whether it's going to rain or not and whether this year is going to be good or bad. When we see all this analysis about the future or whether it's going to rain or not, let us remember always that we have the ability ourselves to influence society like the founding mothers of this institution, challenging existing notions, prevailing notions, and contribute to a better world. The third message of our founding mother is the importance of the law. The law does not say explicitly you can discriminate most of the time. The law doesn't say explicitly you can torture. The law usually proclaims a society of equality. And then if such lawyers can use the notions that exist in the law and claim for its application and real application in practice. In addition, there is hardly an issue that lacks a legal component. Almost everything has a legal component in our society. And almost everything lives in institutions, in courts, in procedures, and the press quotes legal precedents and legal issues. That's why lawyers have a particularly important role to play, because they can provide concepts of legitimacy and authoritative support to conduct. And then I think that that was the very important intuition of our founding mothers, that saw that in order to achieve gender equality, we needed women and men prepared for the purposes of pursuing those important values. Well, during the spring, we host some 60 conferences covering every issue that you can imagine for the purposes of promoting this important message of our founding mother. And this is, again, a very fundamental conference, and we are pleased to host it in our institution. We think that it's particularly fitting in light of the summit's objective to represent and empower populations that are disadvantaged and excluded. And there is this fundamental idea that we're not here only to count suffering, and we're not only here to talk about how people are set aside, but we're here in this and other conference to talk about what we can do in order to achieve a different situation. I know, and Professor Rathod mentioned this, you will be addressing a variety of issues, including immigration, civil rights, gender, and the economy, and you will participate in sessions focused on career planning, community organizing as a way to attract publicity. What exciting these possibilities, and what exciting to talk about the things in the current times when there is more space than before concerning change. Well, on behalf of our community, then, welcome again. My sincere congratulations for the works you do. We are with you, and we wish you the best. Without further delay, I want to invite Shiwali Patel to come to the podium.
Good morning, everyone. On behalf of the South Asian Law Students Association, I would like to welcome you to our school, the Washington College of Law, for the second National South Asian Summit. Some of you may know this, but 2 years ago, we had the opportunity to work with SALT in co-hosting the first South Asian Summit, and I actually attended that event before I even decided to go to law school here at Washington College of Law. And I remember not really knowing what to expect from the summit, but afterwards leaving, I was feeling very inspired by the event, just by being around all these amazing advocates and activists and educators and organizers and students who have come to Washington College of Law, to our school, to convene and to discuss about these very important social and political issues affecting our community. And I also wanted to recognize the alumni of Washington College of Law and the students and the faculty who have come here to join us, particularly the alumni who have come from all over the country to return to WCL. And it's absolutely a pleasure to see your faces again and to be able to collaborate with you for the summit. So welcome, everyone. I hope you enjoy your stay in Washington, D.C. and at WCL.
Thank you so much to Dean Grossman, as well as to Jish and to Shivali for your opening remarks. And I know that all of us at SALT and those of us who are here today really appreciate all the support of the Washington College of Law, especially since we've done the summit twice here. So maybe that'll just become a tradition every Founders Day, every 2 years. I hope so. So moving on, I wanted to talk a little bit about the summit and SALT. And I know that some of you have heard a little bit of this before, but I know that there are also new people in the audience, so I hope you'll bear with me because we do want to set a little bit of context. As you probably know by now, SALT is a national nonprofit organization based here in the D.C. area with an individual member base and 36 organizational partners in 12 regions around the country, many of whom who are here today. The mission of the organization is to really use a social justice frame to address some of the very pressing issues that affect both South Asian immigrants in the United States as well as other immigrants and communities of color. And over the course of the last 5 years since we've been staffed and in existence, we've developed into a hub of information, a hub for information about the community, into a coalition builder and a policy voice on issues affecting the community. Moving on, I wanted to talk a little bit about what has sort of happened, at least through our organization, since the 2007 summit, which, as Shivali mentioned, happened here 2 years ago. And since then, one of the main accomplishments or outcomes, I think, that's occurred with all of those folks who were here in 2007 is the launch and formalization of the National Coalition of South Asian Organizations. In addition, a number of reports were produced by SALT, including a report called The Community of Contrast, which provides information about South Asian organizations here in the United States. Moving on, we'll also be able to go on to the next slide, where we'll talk a little bit about the moment that we're in right now. And the moment that we're in right now, I think, is extremely important because we're convening at a time when there are a lot of changes going on, both within the community as well as around the country. I know that all of you are aware of the fact that with the new administration, there poses some possibility of reform, especially from a policy standpoint. There are also some strategic alliances that we might be able to build for progressive social change here in the United States. At the same time, as we'll see in the next slide, we're also a community that's facing a number of needs and challenges. The 2.7 million South Asians who live in the United States, while many have attained levels of success, there are also significant segments of our community who have not. Socioeconomic disparities, limited language ability, profiling and discrimination on the rise since September 11th, frustration with the immigration system and its process, and economic scapegoating are all issues that we face. And as advocates and activists in this room, we have an opportunity to address these issues so that there is equity when it comes to. And we can see on the next slide some of the issues that we mentioned yesterday as well, but some of the issues that the National Coalition has really identified as key issues that affect the South Asian community from a policy standpoint. Issues where, you know, around gender equity, around access to health, immigrant rights, LGBTIQ rights, there is a need for significant change. There is a need for us as a community to address many of these issues. So given that that's the context, I want to do a little bit of an overview about who is here at the summit and why we've actually convened. We hope that you also feel that this is a significant moment for such a convening, and I think we only have to look at who's in the room and talk to each other to know that we are at a point when we can hopefully continue the experiences and collaborations that we've begun. So moving on to the next slide, we can get a sense of not just the folks that are in this room today, but the values that really bind us here. And I've been saying that a lot this weekend because I do believe that that's true. Whenever I talk to folks who are here, it seems to me that we are here for a common cause and a shared purpose. There's an explicit commitment to challenging racism, sexism, homophobia, and class privilege among many of us who are here today. There's an explicit pledge to building national power from the grassroots level and an understanding that without strong networked organizations locally and individual civic engagement locally, that there really can't be a strong national voice. Moving on to the next slide, we get a sense of why are we here. And these are some of the goals that SALT has kind of, you know, talked about before in terms of making this a space where people can come together. We often don't have that opportunity to come together. You know, I hear a lot from especially my New York friends that the summit is a good place to see all the New York folks. But you know, it is an opportunity to take some time away and to come together and to explore different social change approaches and identify ways that we can work across sector. But That's just in our words. The next couple of slides give you a sense of what you all said when you decided to register for the summit. And these are just some of the themes that folks have, you know, brought up time and time again. That it's an opportunity to connect with progressive Desi folk and talk about community. Or that, you know, sometimes experiences can be quite isolating when you're doing activism. And this is an opportunity to perhaps meet people from different places and feel a little sense of, and I think Cheval, you mentioned this too, a little sense of inspiration, that there's a way to engage with this work. The next slide gives us more of a sense of some of the other responses that we received, how to best move the South Asian American, quote, agenda forward under the Obama administration, or how to improve advocacy skills and reconnecting with old activist friends. So we're hoping that you will actually hit many of these goals that you wanted to hit when you signed up for the summit, and we certainly have tried to do that in terms of the programming. So moving on, you know, I wanted to just make sure that there is a call to action at the summit. A lot of times we come, you know, we come together and we talk and engage, but we sometimes leave without a sense of what is next. And so we, you know, have a couple of ideas for you that are coming up on the slide. We really urge you to go outside your comfort learning zones and learn about issues that you might never have thought about or intersections that you might not have thought about when you look at the agenda for today. We also want you to think about both community and collective calls to action, because it's extremely important to have a sense of what the next steps might be. That's a collaborative decision-making process and not just something that comes from, say, the organizers. So help us when we close out tomorrow with some of your ideas tomorrow afternoon. So be thinking of that in terms of what the next steps are. And also think about personal calls to action. I'm going to have Poonam here pass out some postcards that we put together that we urge you to take one and complete, and we'll then return it to us. You can return it to us outside of 603, and we'll send it out to you. And we just want you to write a little note to yourself and address it to yourself, and we'll mail it to you. And just answer one question: what has the summit inspired you to do? You know, just could be spend more time with, you know, my family, or it could be do more work. It doesn't really matter. I'm not talking about myself. too many people know me here. My husband's happy. Okay. So please take a moment to do that, because I think it's important that we do both those individual calls as well as those collective calls to action. So in each of the sessions today, we've asked our facilitators to make sure that there is a call to action as well. So all of our facilitators and our speakers will make sure that we leave each session with something that's very clear and tangible that you can take away. Let me go on then to the next slide, and let's get started with a quick overview of the agenda. Hopefully you've had a chance to take a look at it, and you found that there are concurrent workshops going on through the various sessions that are happening today. And we hope that you're as excited about the sessions as we are. The sessions were actually not developed just from the heads of SALT, thank God. They were actually developed through the input of all of you and of the National Coalition of South Asian Organizations. We did a number of call-outs for ideas, for proposals, et cetera, and so we got a lot of responses back, and that's what you see reflected back to you in the agenda. We encourage you to sit in on sessions you might not know too much about, and to keep that community call to action in your minds that I referred to earlier. Some of the sessions are skills builders, such as becoming an effective spokesperson for your cause, which is something we're excited about. We've actually brought someone from the SPIN project in California out here, and she's doing 3 sessions today and tomorrow that will help people to be more effective spokespersons for their cause, whatever it is. And other sessions will be more issue-based sessions around equity and inequity, gender and sexual orientation, health and education. And we're also going to be, for the first time, sharing some of the results from the exit poll that happened in November of 2008 in terms of what did the South Asian vote look like. So Glenn McPontai from ALDEF is here, and he'll be sharing those results for the first time. So as you can see, in the morning we have two sessions after the opening plenary, and then we'll have lunch, and at the same time we'll have a meeting of the National Coalition of South Asian Organizations. Then we'll move on to sessions 3 and 4, have an evening plenary, and then we'll have a networking dinner and an open mic. So the day, there are plenty of breaks during the day, so hopefully you'll stay through the entire day with us. Moving on to the next slide, very quickly, what to sign up for outside of room 603. If you're interested in going to the effective spokesperson training through the SPIN project that I mentioned, which is offered during sessions 2, 4, and 5, please sign up for it. There's an easel chart paper outside of 603, and you can sign up for it. We're keeping that session small, only 20 people, and we're reserving some of the main slots for organizations. So please sign up there if you'd like to participate in that. Secondly, we're having an open space session tomorrow at 11 o'clock, and we want you to put up your suggestions for open space sessions as well, and then folks will just come together and meet and talk about whatever issues that they're interested in. And finally, don't be shy, but if you're interested in performing at the open mic tonight, please sign up for that too. I thank the three brave souls that have already volunteered, and please come out to see them and support them and sign up. You can do whatever you like. Finally, help us document the summit. We talk a lot about the importance of documenting the stories and perspectives and experiences of our community and how that just doesn't happen enough. So we really want to ask you to help us do that. First of all, tell us your immigration story, and you can do that right here in room 603. We have a social justice timeline to my left here, which is very incomplete on purpose, and we want you to fill it in with posts. We've post-its, and we want you to fill it in and tell us about some of the important moments in terms of the South Asian community and social justice movements. So we ask you to do that. Secondly, talk to any of the SALT board or staff or anyone with a flip camera that will be walking around. If you have a story that you'd like to share about being here, an experience, or something about local experiences. Thirdly, evaluations are very important. We know that the summit is not perfect. We know that that we can improve all the time, and we want to hear from you in terms of how to do that. We believe that 2 years ago we learned from input and are implementing that here. Evaluations are available at right outside 603. Please take one and return it to us. And finally, please write about the summit, blog about it, let others know. We really want to make sure that folks hear about it. Two last slides that I wanted to quickly do, and then I'm going to actually break for 2 minutes and then have our opening plenary speakers come up for a short kind of introduction to the summit. Just some ground rules, respecting opinions, even if they're different from ours in the sessions, understanding that this is a safe space, and feeling comfortable that we're surrounded by allies and friends and colleagues, and knowing that. Respecting the agenda and the process. We know we have a packed agenda. You probably have ways that you would suggest to us on how to improve it, but we ask you to just respect the agenda and the process and the time that's gone into putting this weekend together. Be open to learning. Take care of the needs that you have. Respect language needs. There are folks here today who are using interpreters, and so please, in your sessions, make sure that you respect that. And, of course, turn off your cell phones or put them on vibrate. Okay, moving on then, I'm going to do a really quick stand-up sit-down, which is only going to take a minute, and then if our plenary speakers can actually just come to the front and sit next to Priya so we can do this very quickly. That's Sukti, Asim, Monami, Shmim, and Atashi. So really quickly then on the stand-up sit-down, raise your hand or stand up, since it's Saturday morning, if any of these questions apply to you. Who actually attended the 2007 South Asian Summit? You can stand up. Stand up. Please. Come on. Get the blood flowing. Wow. Who attended? This many people attended the 2000 Summit? That's great. Okay. Moving on to the next one. How many of you participated in Advocacy Day yesterday? Yay. Okay. How many of us here are, you can sit back down, how many of us here are actually working in the nonprofit sector? Wow. That's great. That's great. Okay. How many of you here are members of the National Coalition of South Asian Organizations? Yay! That's my favorite. Okay. And for how many of you is this summit like a reunion? Not enough. Okay. Not enough. We'll do better next time. Okay. So then just a quick reminder also about tomorrow's agenda. We are starting here at 8:30, and we will have two more sessions in the morning, including a session on for folks who are interested in getting jobs in the White House. Moving on to open space sessions, and then finally, I don't know, people wanted it, lunch and reflections. So that is what tomorrow looks like. All right. So again, I'm sorry that I kept this a little brief, but I figured that we need to keep moving and be on time. So we're going to do literally a 1 minute break while I move our speakers up, and then we're going to get started into our opening plenary. Actually, so hopefully folks can give our panel a little bit of attention.
Maybe it's not just about it. Maybe maximum focus for the organizing, not gene could pass power now.
Okay, everyone, thank you for your patience. We're going to get started with our opening plenary. So we're going to go for about, 15, 20 minutes with our opening plenary so that we're on time for the first session, which will begin at 10:25. So this opening plenary is just called Reflections on Social Change Activism. We wanted it to be, folks can give your attention to the speakers at the podium here and wrap up your conversations. Okay, thank you. So we wanted this to be an opportunity for folks who are here at the summit and participating in the summit to actually just share some of their own personal experiences and some of their own calls to action to the rest of us. So the activists that are here to my right are going to define what they mean when they say social change, and they're also going to provide some calls to action for those who are gathered here at the summit. And the opening plenary will, we hope, give us a collaborative working understanding of what it means when we use the word social change. So the folks on the panel, and I'll quickly introduce them, are Monami Molik and Shamim Akhtar, executive director, and Shamim is a member of Desi's Rising Up and Moving. We've got Sikti Dittal, who's a staff attorney with the American Civil Liberties Union in New York. We've got Apashi Chakravarti, who's the executive director of NARICA in the San Francisco Bay Area. And Asim Rahman, some of you met Asim last night. He's president of the Hamtramck, which is in Michigan, if you didn't know it, National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. So I'm going to just get us started very quickly so that we can hear a lot from our speakers. So the first question that I'm going to ask is the question, what inspired you to do social change work? What are some of the reasons that really inspired you to do social change work? Okay, so I'm going to start with you, Asim. If you can share with us a little bit about what motivated you, and then I'll ask you, Shamim.
Okay. Being an immigrant was a challenge in itself for me about 23 years ago when I came here. It was a life change, not just a small change. Everything was different, and getting guidance from some people that knew was difficult, education-wise, and what to do, finding different avenues to get help was one of the biggest challenges I faced. Then I thought about it, that how can I do to make it easier for the new immigrant population that comes here? And I started, communicating with the young folks that come here, and then encouraging them to go to school, stay in school, not just work 9 to 5 or whatnot. But the biggest, the advantage that we have here in the United States is the civil rights that we have for everyone, which is quite different in terms of understanding than back home. And the movement for civil rights is, I think, one of the biggest the change that we needed to, I got involved myself into. And civil rights is not a destination, it's a continuous struggle. And in different communities, you have, for example, in African American communities, the immigration issues is probably one of the least important issue for them, as opposed to racial profiling, police brutality, and things like that. Whereas in Hispanic and South Asian community, the immigration issue is probably one of the top one. So the change that I felt was important to engage people in understanding in the issues that helps them most, such as immigration and other avenues that's out there to get them some help.
Thanks so much, SM. So it sounds like your immigrant experience and also seeing the similarities in other people's experiences really propelled you to get started in terms of your work, I know, with the Bangladeshi American community in Hamtramck as well as now with the NAACP. So I want to turn it over to Shamim and ask you if you could tell us briefly a little bit about why you got inspired to do some of the work that you're doing with DRUM.
Assalamu alaikum, my name is Shamim Akhtar and my relationship is DRUM. DRUM is Desi Rising Moving Up. Our organization, we are 90% DRUM undocumented. We have no papers.
Assalamu alaikum, my name is Shamim Akhtar and I'm from the organization DRUM, Desi Rising Up and Moving. And about 90% or more of our membership are undocumented, don't have papers in this country.
So, आज हम लोग जो यहाँ आए हैं ये बताने के लिए कि जो undocumented लोग होते हैं उनको किन-किन मुश्किलात से यहाँ से गुजरना पड़ता है, उनको उनके बच्चों को किन-किन मुश्किलात से गुजरना पड़ता है। मैं भी एक माँ हूँ, मुझे यहाँ पर आकर 8 साल हो गए यहाँ आए हुए, किन तकलीफों से गुजरना पड़ा है।
So we're here mainly today, so many of us, to talk about and spread the word about the kind of struggles that we as undocumented people have to live through day to day, that our children have to go through, that we as mothers have to face.
अगर हमारे पास papers नहीं होते तो hospital नहीं जा सकते, पहली बात जो कि बहुत जरूरी है. दूसरा ये कि हम काम नहीं कर सकते. तीसरा बच्चे education हासिल नहीं कर सकते.
So if we don't have papers, the simple things like we can't go to the hospital, which is so important. If you don't have papers, you can't work. If you don't have papers, many times your kids can't access education.
और मैं सिर्फ यहाँ ड्रम के लिए नहीं आई, मैं पूरी साउथ एशियन कम्युनिटी के लिए आई हूँ. तमाम जितने यहाँ पर अनडॉक्यूमेंटेड लोग हैं मेरे जैसे, मैं उन सब की फाइट करने के लिए यहाँ आई हूँ ड्रम के साथ.
And I didn't come here just for DRUM and our members, but I came here on behalf of all of the undocumented people in this country, so many millions of people who go through this every day. I came to speak on behalf of all of us.
So mere khayal mein hamare paas bolne ki power aaj hame DRUM ke zariye mili hai, lekin aapke paas main samajhti hu humse badi power hai, kyunki aap vote de sakte hain. आप जो वोट लेना चाहते हैं आप उनकी ताकत हैं. आप लोग अगर एक सवाल उनसे सिर्फ ये करें, जिस वक्त आप उनको वोट देने जाएं.
So we join an organization like DRUM because that's one of the only ways we can have power as undocumented people to be organized. But I'm here to also give a message to all of you who are here, who are citizens and who can vote here. You have a certain power that we don't. You'll be listened to in a certain way that we don't. And so there's things that you have to tell.
So aaj aap ek ahd karke yahan se jaiye ki jab aap vote dene ke liye jaye to pehle ek sawal unse kijiye ki hame hamare jaise logon ko aapne legalization dilwani hai bagair kisi jawaz ke. Direct legalization dilwani hai.
So what she's giving a charge, a duty to everyone who comes here to do when you go back is to go to your elected officials and tell them that on behalf of all of the people in this country, like us, that your vote means that you're voting for legalization without compromise for the undocumented people.
Isme mere khayal mein aapka koi bhi ek penny bhi nahi lagegi. Sirf टाइम आपका जाया होगा, अगर आप समझते हैं कि वो जाया होगा, लेकिन मैं ये समझती हूँ उसमें आपको बहुत सारे दिलों से निकली हुई दुआएं मिलेंगे. और दूसरी बात कहने के लिए मेरे पास बहुत कुछ, मेरी अपनी स्टोरी बहुत बड़ी है कि मेरे ख्याल में अगर मैं यहाँ सुनाऊं तो आप सब रोना शुरू हो जाएंगे. मेरे पास शाइना आपा हैं जिनकी स्टोरी अगर आप सुनेंगे तो आप लोग रोएंगे कि उनका बच्चा डिटेंशन में है, डिटेंशन सेंटर में है और उसको कैद हो गई है बगैर किसी वजह के.
So it won't cost you any money to go and raise your voice about legalization. It'll take your time, and it's worth it. And if I were to tell my story, it will take a long time, and there'd be a lot of tears in the room. If I were to tell Shahina Appa's story, there'd be a lot of tears, and you'd hear about her son who's spending 30 years in jail for a supposed act of terrorism he didn't commit.
So, मैं थोड़ा सा सिर्फ आपको ये बताना चाहूंगी कि ड्रम क्या करता है और मेरी स्टोरी क्या है. सिर्फ क्योंकि टाइम बहुत कम है, सॉरी, मैं थोड़ा सा बोलना चाहूंगी कि ड्रम हम लोगों के साथ फाइट करता है. हम ड्रम के साथ जो है, जैसे कि मोनामी मलिक हैं, मैं भी मोनामी मलिक हूं और मेरी जगह मोनामी मलिक शमीम है, तो हम लोग सब बराबर हैं. यहां पर ड्रम का एक बहुत अच्छा हमें एडवांटेज मिलता है कि हम ड्रम के मेंबर्स के साथ साथ हम बड़े अपने आप को एक बहुत बड़ा व्हाइट कॉलर जॉब फील करते हैं कि हम यहां पर एक बहुत बड़ी व्हाइट कॉलर जॉब फील कर रहे हैं.
So the power that we get from being in the organization and that social change for us is that we're all equals in the organization. That me or Shamim can replace each other, that we have the same voice and the same power, all of our members. And it feels like we don't have white collar jobs in this country, but.
Thank you so much, Shamim and Monami. I feel like, Shamim, you also addressed even the question that I was going to ask Monami, which I will get to, around social change. But thank you for sharing that and for giving us the first call to action. I want to turn to Sukthi, actually, to ask you a little bit of a different question. And I wanted Sukthi and Atashi And to answer the question of what, you know, we use this word quite a bit. We've used it here a lot, social change, social justice. We interchange it quite a bit. What does it mean to you, even in terms of whether it's through your organization or whether it's through kind of the individual perspective that you might have as an activist? Sukthi, could you go first?
Sure. I think that I agree. I had to think about this for a while because we use it all the time. And so sometimes when you use a word, it starts to lose meaning almost. And so when I was thinking about it, the first thing I thought was that it's a really active, it's active, it's a verb. It means movement. And I think it means movement at a really kind of seismic level, like at the base, where we're trying to shift policy, we're trying to shift cultural ideas, we're trying to shift access to rights. I mean, it's really at that deep level, and it's with the hope that things will be more equitable as a result of it, and that it's sustainable. And so when I was thinking about how do I use that within my career and what I do, I think as a legal advocate, the way I use it is that this thing that I paid thousands of dollars to better understand and to is my weapon is our words. So how do I use words to kind of affect and promote a more equitable world? And so the way I do that is I try to take a word and I challenge its meaning. I challenge its definition. I try to pour my meaning into that word, not my meaning, but not to be so self-absorbed, a more holistic, inclusive meaning of what a word should mean. Like, what should privacy be? What should equality be? Mm-hmm. And so that's a way in which I use it as an advocate in the law. But that doesn't exist in its own kind of ivory tower. You know, we may have a great court decision, but if it doesn't translate, if there's no information exchange, if there's not a grassroots movement where people feel invested, and they really feel like they have a stake in that at a community level, it doesn't do anything. So I think that that's kind of the hybrid of how social change is both movement here, but also movement at the ground level. So that's kind of how I look at what social change is.
Thanks, Sukthi. And I know that a lot of folks here are like you in that they might be sort of early in their careers, and we think it's important to have a voice like that represented to give us a sense of how we can think about this very kind of large, nebulous concept of social change. Atashi, as the executive director of NARCA, you've been working in the nonprofit sector and allied with immigrant rights organizations in the Bay Area and across the country for several years now. Can you talk a little bit about what social change and social justice means to you as an executive director, kind of on a day-to-day basis?
Sure. I think for NARCA and for nonprofits, it means listening to the people, looking at, I think you used the term holistic, looking at the the issues holistically. And, you know, even though NARICA, we're a domestic violence helpline, domestic violence might be the section, might be the center of our work, but looking at all of the intersectionalities, that's social change, where a woman might come to us with a domestic violence call, but she also has immigration issues, she also has employment issue, legal issue. Everything that she comes with, that's social justice. We have to, it's not just combating the immediate, she needs shelter, she needs food. We have to look at every single aspect of what she needs, and we have to advocate on all of those levels. And that's social justice. That's taking our issue and taking it beyond. And it's also base building, you know, like taking that message, just like Drum has done, taking that message to the masses and encouraging the community to move it upwards.
Great. And you used the word intersectionality, which I'm glad that you did, because one of the, we hope that as we kind of go through today and tomorrow, we will have an opportunity to look at issues through an intersectional lens instead of just looking at an issue just head on, that we'll have an opportunity to see how it connects with, you know, race, gender, variety of issues around immigration that have already been addressed on this panel, et cetera, that we get to explore intersectionality. So the last question that I actually wanted to ask each of you is really what your call to action is. And I think, you know, Shamim has given us a very powerful call to action and a very tangible one in terms of immigration and immigration reform. But we'd like to have you, you know, address that a little bit. What do you want us to do when we leave here? So I'm going to start with you, Mon Ami, to see if you can start us off.
So my call to action would be that for all of you, wherever you're located, to find also community-based organizations that have membership who are directly affected. So I'm talking about low-wage immigrant workers, tenants, migrants, people who, to me, organizing and social change is poor people, working-class people, oppressed people fighting for themselves. People without power being the leader for themselves to change, going directly with their message. So mine would be go back, and there's membership organizations everywhere you are, and they need support. They need allies. So go back, find them out, and find ways to support them.
And if I could add, Mon Ami, I think another, and I know that we've talked about this before several times, another theme that we have is to see how as social South Asian organizations, right, that we might be able to incorporate different ways to do social change. And I think that, I hope that's another theme along with intersectionality that we can explore in our sessions today so that we don't just do services or organizing or advocacy in these silos, but how do we intersect not just issues, but strategies as well. And hopefully we'll have that conversation throughout the day.
I'm just going to make a quick plug since Shamim spoke for Drum, but later on, please come to a session we'll be doing later today, and you'll get to hear the stories of our different members and leaders who are mostly women and men who will talk about what exactly is organizing, because we use that word a lot too, but organizing is simply not, it's a step beyond educating the masses. It's the masses taking the power in their own hands and being at the table and negotiating and fighting for themselves. So how do you build membership-based organizations where the members have the power of the organization and are the ones who are carrying that message everywhere? That's what we're going to talk about in the session today, and you're going to learn from our leaders. So please join us later.
Great. So I'm going to start back with you, Asim, and just go down the line. I think we have literally 2 minutes left, so I ask you to keep that in mind when you respond in maybe a phrase or two what your call to action is for us today. It's possible. It's possible. Go ahead, Asim.
My call to action would be learn what we can do to our community. Be vocal and be politically active. You know, exercise your rights to vote. You know, it doesn't make any sense after the voting is done and you complain, and then most of the people don't even go to the voting. The good thing is that the South Asian community is very active in when it comes to voting. And stick to one, or, you know, don't expand yourself too much. Just stick to one issue and be good at it and be effective. That's the way I think
that's a good piece of advice for many of us in this room, actually. Atashi.
Not to sound like a Nike commercial, but I think just do it. Like, just get out and do, you know, don't expect somebody else to be the leader. Step up and be the leader. Don't expect, like, there's a lot of activists, you know, out there, but if you see something's wrong and if it's not being addressed, you're the one who needs to step up and do it.
Thank you. Sukthi, what is your call to action for us?
Mine is kind of inspired by the term Ubuntu, which is the South African. It was the found. I'm going to need like four sentences.
That's okay. I will let you do it.
Okay, for those that don't know, it was kind of served as the founding constitutional principle of the new Republic of South Africa, and this notion that we're all interdependent. And, you know, I am because you are, and we are this really tied. As much as we're different, even within these walls, there's a lot of interdependency between us. And so I would charge us, because we're fortunate enough, in a quick plug to SALT, to get all of these skill sets and organizations and regional differences and language differences to really come together and find out where we are interdependent and how that our humanities do kind of are tangled. And so that's my call to action, is to walk away from here feeling as if we can, to the extent possible, have an inclusive and, again, the word holistic kind of points to as a departure from here.
That's great. And Shamim, what would be your quick call to action for us, one phrase that you would like to leave us with?
Mera sawal wahi hai ki aap logon ke paas power hai jab aap vote dene ke liye jaye to hamare liye boliye ki ek sawal unse sirf kijiye ki hum tamam undocumented ko documented kar dijiye please.
So the same thing, which is the same question that you have to ask when you go to your elected officials and you're about to give your vote, that what's going to happen with the millions of undocumented people here? We need to legalize everyone without compromise.
Thank you. I want to thank all of you because I know that it's not easy to be brief when we talk about an issue like social justice, but I think this panel did a fantastic job of not just giving us their perspective, but giving us some charge as we move through the day. So join me in thanking them. Stay for a minute. Just stay for a second. And I also want to remind us of some of those calls to action. We'll try to keep doing that throughout the day in the session, so I hope our facilitators took notes of what folks on this panel did talk about interdependency, intersectionality, politically being active, base building. So don't talk. I'm going to just give me some more time, just a minute more. I'm going to just make sure I disperse you properly, or our staff will get mad at me. So, okay, so session one is going to start at 10:25. We're going to be on time. And this is what's happening in session one. Thank you, Mo. We've got impact of the economic crisis, exploring life after law school. Is there one? I guess there is. Elections 2008 and beyond, maintaining civic and political participation. We heard a lot about the immigration reform piece from Shamim, and there's a great conversation that you might be interested in called This is What Immigration Reform Looks Like, facilitated by Subhash Katil and Priyamurthy. And I care about the cause. How can I help? For those of you who are wondering, how do I get plugged into the nonprofit sector or to the community when I don't work in one, etc.?